and welcome to the HTXT AfriCast for Friday, the 7th of August, isn't it today, dear?
That's it.
Fantastic. My name's Adam Oxford. I'm the editor-in-chief of HTXT.Africa, and I'm joined in the studio by my colleague, Dion Duplessis.
Hello, everyone.
And speaking to us live from Cologne in Germany, where he is attending Gamescom 2015, is our managing editor, Nick Cohen.
Hi.
Nick, you're out there at Gamescom. What do you think so far?
Thank goodness for air conditioning, first of all, because it is hellishly hot every single time you step outside the halls. The throng of people inside the halls, if there wasn't air conditioning, you would melt. There is so much to see here. There are so many fans here that are just absolutely excited to get their hands on the latest games that haven't been released yet. I'm lucky in that I'm pressed, so I don't have to queue all that much, because the queues for some games are stretching right out of the convention centre.
And how's it comparing so far with E3 earlier this year?
In terms of press, it's great, because in a lot of instances, you make appointments with the different developers and they have their own separate business section. So all you do is you pitch up at a media desk, they take you into a little room and you can play the game or be briefed about the game to your heart's content. There are obviously some games that's not the case. At the Sony booth, you have to queue up with everybody else if you want to play Uncharted 4. That's the main difference between Cologne and E3 is the fact that at Gamescom there's a kind of separation of church and state when it comes to traders and consumers, which makes the whole thing run a lot more smoothly. And also, because it's Cologne and not LA, the vibe here is far more relaxed.
fantastic. And of the games you've seen so far then, what's caught your eye, Nick?
Well, let's see. Yesterday, I saw Homefront, The Revolution, which is Deep Silver's sequel to Homefront. It's a game set in a world where North Korea was way more technically advanced than anyone else and conquered pretty much the world. And you are a lowly USA soldier trying to fight off the evil occupiers.
Nick, did you see anything more than the preview? Have you actually played it?
I've played it.
Oh, I am so jealous.
you'd love it, because you're really into that zombie shit. Is it Dead Rising?
Yeah, Dead Rising.
It was Dying Light.
Well, Dying Light, Dead Rising, anything with zombies in it.
Yeah, but it's sort of like got that free-flowing parkour, run across the rooftops, use things in your environment to cause havoc for all of your opponents.
Because it's all about guerrilla warfare, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it owes a couple of nods to Far Cry in that you get into an area, hack a node, and then it shows you all the stuff in the area that you can do. But what I really liked about it is that, first of all, you're outgunned because your enemies are far more heavily armed than you. So you really do have to hit and run tactics. And you can set traps and drop flaming barrels on convoys. You have bike stashes where you can run around. And it owes a nod to Far Cry and Assassin's Creed in that you hack a node and it opens up a map around you, and you can see what's in the area, like weapons caches, bike stashes. You can grab a bike, and you can the great thing about the driving sections is that the map's created in such a way where you go up ramps and through buildings and across rooftops. You kind of feel like James Bond at the beginning of Skyfall. And the other interesting mechanic is that you can change all of your weapons on the fly. And when I say that, what I mean is you can mod them. So instead of having to pick a loadout like you would do in Call of Duty, you just have access to a bunch of equipment. So if you need a scope, you can quickly hit up on the D-pad and snap a scope onto your rifle. You can snap a torch onto the front of it. You can snap a handle onto the grip so that the recoil is reduced on your weapon. And you can do that with pretty much any weapon you like. You can also convert weapons into different types. Like you can turn a shotgun into a flamethrower. It's actually quite fun.
See, I really like that. I really miss the old school RPGs like Deus Ex and stuff, where you could basically do anything at all as long as the stats allowed it.
Yeah, well, there's an element of that there. For me, the most interesting aspect of it is that you're essentially playing a terrorist. You have to wonder what this game would sell like if it was a Western country that had occupied your country and you were someone based out in Africa or the Middle East. I don't think it would sell as well.
How the US is, though. It's okay as long as it's them who's doing it, right?
Exactly. So Homefront looks pretty good. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 looks quite mental. It's Call of Duty, really. It's got guns, modifications. The multiplayer is very, very slick, except they've added something this year called Specialists. And you can pick a different avatar, and they give you different powers and different weapons. For example, if you pick a Prophet Specialist class, you can open up a weapon that fires electricity, which you can chain between targets. And if all of your targets are standing in a pool of water, you can pretty much wipe out an entire squad.
Awesome. So just standing back a bit from the games and thinking about the big companies, the console platforms and stuff, I mean, Microsoft kind of opened the show at the beginning of the week with their Xbox conference, and they're bringing Windows 10 to Xbox and all that kind of stuff. Have they stolen the show? Is that it? Is it all about Microsoft this year?
Well, you can't really steal a show if your opponent doesn't turn up. And when I say doesn't turn up, Sony didn't really do a keynote. And I think that's because Sony's going to be represented in Paris in a couple of months' time. And also because they had a big showing at E3. But like I said, you can't argue with numbers, and their stand at the moment is clogged.
This is Sony's stand, is it?
Absolutely. On the one side of the stand, you have everyone playing Guitar Hero. On the other side, everyone's trying to get into Uncharted. You've got Star Wars Battlefront in there somewhere as well. And you've got a little pod where you can go in and play all the little indie titles, which is really, really fun. So that's pretty impressive. The Xbox stand is pretty impressive. But perhaps the biggest stand here, which is really, really weird, because usually they have their own conference, is Blizzard. They're roughly half of one hall.
Good grief.
You've got Legacy of the Void. You've got some World of Warcraft stuff going on. Hearthstone has its own little sort of forequarters, which looks like an old tavern. I've taken loads and loads of pictures of this, which I'll put up on the site next week. But, you know, if we were playing Booth Wars, Blizzard's out in front completely. They're also announcing a new expansion pack for World of Warcraft this evening.
I was going to say, do you think that has anything to do with the fact that their subscriber numbers are down to their lowest level since 2005? You think they may be just putting in a bit more effort to bring some more people in?
I think that they are putting that out. I mean, because that's the thing about Blizzard's World of Warcraft numbers. They go in peaks and troughs. And usually the peaks come when a new expansion gets kicked out. But that having been said, I don't think that Blizzard is hurting for money or revenue at this point.
Yeah, I don't think they will be for a while.
What I find interesting about World of Warcraft, and I used to be a hardcore endgame raider and all that kind of stuff, is that once upon a time there was talk of Warcraft 2 and a Starcraft MMO, and you know they saw it as a finite thing that was going to end, and they were planning the next one. And it feels a bit like now. I mean, we're what, 15 years into Warcraft nearly now. It's just never going to end, is it? There's just expansion after expansion coming.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember talking to Paul Sams, who's Blizzard CEO, I think COO, about 3 years ago, no, 2 years ago, when The Mists of Pandaria came out.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, you know, is World of Warcraft like fashion or Facebook in that it'll never really be finished? And he said, well, we're not really sure about whether it'll never be finished, but I tell you what, we've got enough in the bank for several more expansions. In fact, I know what the next three are. Uh-huh. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago. So, and also when you look at their creative director, Chris Metzen, I mean, he is a huge thundering role-playing nerd, and he is essentially, if you imagine, if you've ever played Dungeons & Dragons, this is a man who's lucky enough to be a DM with a user base of over 10 million.
And he's been there pretty much from the start as well, hasn't he? I mean, I remember talking to Chris years and years ago for Gamer.
Mm. Yeah, he's been there forever. He was in on the ground floor.
Yeah,
He has one of the most enviable jobs in the world.
He's going nowhere. Are they talking? I mean, obviously they haven't made their announcement yet, but are they talking about overhauling the graphics engine at all? Do you think, or improving the technology, or are we just going to have to wait and see on that?
It's actually something I'd like to see more on as well. I've seen a couple of people have done mock-ups of World of Warcraft levels in Unreal Engine 4, and they look incredible. And quite frankly, that's the only thing holding the game back for me is the graphics. So if they can boost those up, awesome.
Yeah, well, this is the thing with Blizzard. They don't tell anyone anything until they're good and ready. So, this is all speculation and conjecture at this point. Thing is that there's not just games at Gamescom. As is the case with E3, you obviously get the cosplayers. You obviously get, sort of people selling knickknacks and all the rest of it. But up on the second deck, right next to the business center, there's a huge makers sort of center.
Good grief.
Where there's loads of 3D printing going on, and people building these amazing chassis from 3D printers for PCs, like right in front of you. I've taken a load of pictures of that as well, obviously, because I think that if there was a makers section and I didn't come home with some of those pictures, I wouldn't have a job anymore. Isn't that right, Adam?
pretty much.
But,
yeah.
there's a great. They printed a phone up there that basically looks like. Sort of phone that Snoop Dogg would have. It's bright pink and it has pink fur covering it. it's the most pimp looking phone you've ever seen.
I like the idea of that, though. I mean, we could so steal that idea and do a 3D print your PC case in the middle of Johannesburg or something. I think we'd get an audience for that.
Hell, I'd watch.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's loads and loads. They're situated right next to the laser tag arena. Yes, you can also play laser tag here.
And the interesting thing with 3D printing and gaming, though, is are the games. Do you think the games companies are sort of okay with the copyright issues now, and the fact that people are going to be printing models from within the game, and that's going to hurt their sort of franchise sales and licensing stuff?
Well, it all depends. I mean, the thing is that. Printing, so say for example, printing a Final Fantasy character is going to take ages. I don't know how prohibitively expensive 3D printers still are. I think as time goes on, they might have an issue. But as long as people aren't printing Final Fantasy knockoff items or Blizzard knockoff items and making money off them, I don't think they'd care. Yeah. That having been said, you also remember that gamers are particularly fastidious when they lay their money down on the counter. And let's be honest here, most fans want the genuine article. They want the kind of, for example, I ran into a bunch of Korean kids here at Gamescom, and they came back with a Blizzard shoulder bag, roughly the size of their bodies. And they had literally flown all the way out here from South Korea because they'd looked at Blizzard's catalog and they saw that there were 5 items that they can't buy online that they can only buy at the show.
See, when I was a big Warcraft player, I know the big benefit of going to the shows like this was that you got a free in-game item that was impossible to acquire any other way. Are they still doing that sort of thing as well?
Pretty much. I'm coming home with some swag. I must admit, I bought myself a limited edition demon.
Fantastic.
Very nice.
Well, you see, that's the one thing I won't be expensing because I've worked out a way where you can actually get buy-in cologne. By not spending any money.
Oh?
Yeah. You just have to work out when the different booths have their lunches and which developers offer fruit in the morning and coffee. And the tram back to mine is only like €2. So
fantastic. I'm gonna remember that when the expense bill comes in.
Well,
€50.
The first day will be a bit different because I didn't know where I was going, so I did take 2 cab rides. But other than that, you're pretty much in the clear.
Did you hear the sound of backpedaling there?
A little bit.
Fantastic. So just going back to the games, I mean, you've spoken about Homeworld and Call of Duty. Homefront and Call of Duty. There's always one game that everybody's burst, dying to get in to see there, and that all of the kids are queuing around the block to get in. Any idea what that is this year? Is there one standout?
There are 3.
Cool.
The first is obviously Uncharted 4, which is everyone's like queuing up to get into. The other one is Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I was quite impressed with the trailer and what they showed of the aerial battles and all that. What is your take on it?
Well, the thing is, I just was able to stand in the queue and have a look over people's shoulders because I didn't have a hands on myself. But what was interesting was you see people who are networked in the same match. And there are some people running along on the ground with guns. There are some people flying in X-Wings. Someone's flying the Millennium Falcon. Somebody else is running around in an AT-AT walker. It's it looks like there's an awful lot of variation in there, and it's perhaps the first Star Wars game that I've been genuinely excited for years.
Yeah, dude, I must say, I'm not the world's biggest Star Wars fan. I do like it. I'm not, like, monstrously into it, but that game looks like it's going to bring together everything that a Star Wars game could have been for years but just hasn't been, and it's going to hopefully deliver. That's what I think.
So, yeah, the other thing, the other game that's obviously making all the noise is Fallout 4.
Ah, yes, yes.
And Fallout 4's presence here is everywhere. I would say that perhaps one of the also-rans is Mirror's Edge Catalyst, which loads of people are playing. I'm just trying to think if there's any big surprises. I think that the oh yeah, and obviously FIFA's huge. Everyone's playing FIFA.
Still, even with Sepp Blatter on the front cover.
He's not on the front cover. It's Lionel Messi. And I think that you couldn't want for a better person on your cover. It's the star footballer who looks like a substitute teacher. He does.
Dude, are there any... is Fallout 4 playable at all? Or is it just videos and demos and that?
I'm about to try and blag my way into their booth after I finish talking to you, so I'll have to let you know when I get back.
Okay.
But, like, I've been seeing a lot of Fallout 4 cosplay already. Which is quite interesting, and they had a big demo. I think they have a demo in the business center, which we can all look at. I know that you're dying for more, but unfortunately, I can't report anymore until I've seen it.
No, that's
I can
right.
tell you that Lego Dimensions is really good.
Have you played it?
Yes, I played Lego Dimensions. You can have up to 7 characters and 2 vehicles on the thing at the same time. Okay. The portal peripheral is actually part of the game, so you use it to solve puzzles and the like. When you look at what they're doing with Lego Dimensions, you actually have to feel a little bit for Skylanders, because the new Skylanders is essentially Mario Kart.
Oh, no.
I'm dreading Lego Dimensions. I'm genuinely dreading it, because it just brings together everything my daughter loves, and I'm it's going to break me for next year.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're worried because of your daughter. I'm worried for me. I might go out and buy it.
Basically, in Lego Dimensions, if you buy, say, for example, the Batmobile comes with 3 different variants. So what happens is you put the Batmobile on the little portal. It registers that it's the Batmobile. Then it opens up a series of instructions. So you can break the actual toy to pieces and put it back in a different format. And then it will register that format. You can drive around in your own little creation.
That sounds amazing.
That's very cool indeed. That's very, very cool indeed. Nick, I'm going to let you go because I know you're going to run off and try and get into Bethesda, and I don't want to hold you up in the limited time you've got there. So, was there anything else you wanted to tell us about Gamescom, or is that pretty much the potted highlights?
That is the potted highlights, and yeah, the only thing I would mention though is that play the new Hearthstone expansion. It looks absolutely phenomenal, and if you're one of the people who plays Hearthstone obsessively, this is going to swallow hours of your life.
Fantastic. On which note, I'm going to promise myself I'm never going to install Hearthstone, because I don't have those hours anymore. No, Blizzard, you can't have more of them. You've taken enough. Nick, thank you very much. We'll be posting up the rest of your stories over the course of the day, and looking forward to those photo galleries next week as well. If we don't speak to you again, have a safe journey home. Enjoy the rest of the show, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Cool. Cheers, Nick.
And there you are, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the HDXT AfriCast. I was joined here in the studio by my colleague John Dupuisie.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.